Today, as we celebrate this feast of the baptism of the Lord, it brings this whole series of Christmas and Epiphany to an end. As we saw last week with Epiphany, that there are actually three different events that are epiphanies of the Lord. That is the first time that our Lord's divinity was revealed or manifested. So we saw last week with the star that showed our Lord's divinity to the Magi. We see today the baptism of the Lord, where the Holy Spirit descending, and St. John the Baptist able to recognize that this is indeed the Son of God. And then we have also the wedding at Cana, which was the first of our Lord's miracles, turning the water into wine. So all these things are part of the same essential mystery, that is the revealing or the manifestation of the divinity of Christ to humanity. But then we ask the simple question, if Jesus is God, which he is, and as God, he has no sin, and St. John the Baptist is preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, why did our Lord need to be baptized? He didn't. And that's even the point that St. John the Baptist recognized. I should be baptized by you, but yet you come to me to be baptized? And our Lord tells him that this is for the fulfillment of all righteousness. So what does all that mean? What it means is that what our Lord has done, especially through baptism, as we'll see, he has incorporated us into himself. We become the mystical person of Jesus Christ. And all of the members of the body must be united with the head. And the head has to be united with the body. He didn't need to be baptized. He didn't need to repent of any sins. In fact, he took our sins to himself so that they could be forgiven. But it is we, the members of the body of Christ, who needed to be cleansed, to repent. And we could say, well, but isn't that what happens in our own baptism? On one hand, yes, but that is only a tiny, tiny fraction of what happens in the baptism of the Lord. In fact, in the baptism of the Lord, it is the way that you have become a member of Jesus Christ. So we see in the first reading today is something that is so, so very important. It's from the 42nd chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. You'll see the same thing in the 49th chapter. These are the first two of what are called the four suffering servant songs. So it's about the servant of the Lord who is going to be suffering. So we see it in chapter 42. We have the second one in chapter 49. There's another one in chapter 50. And then the last one in chapters 52 and 53. But in the passage that we heard today, what it says about the Messiah, so that's the servant of the Lord. These are messianic prophecies, so they are prophecies regarding the Messiah himself. And listen again to what God said to him, because this is critical for us to understand. He said, I have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I have formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, and so on. When you were baptized into the new covenant. But look at what it says about the covenant. I will make you a covenant. It doesn't say I will make a covenant with you. God made a covenant with Adam. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Moses. He made a covenant with David. He did not make a covenant with Jesus. Jesus is the covenant. That's the part that we must understand. So when you were baptized, you became a member of the covenant. You became a member of the person of Jesus Christ because he is God. And therefore, you became a son or a daughter of God. And so all these things that then happen because of that, it's not just the repentance for the forgiveness of sin. It is true that original sin, and if you're baptized beyond being a baby, all of the sins of your life are removed at that moment of baptism. But that's just the one aspect of baptism. Once that's removed, sanctifying grace is infused into your soul, and you are incorporated into Christ, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given. All the different things that are happening in your soul at that point. But you become a member of the church, you become a member of Christ, you become a child of God. And so many more things that we could talk about. But that's why our Lord went into the water to be baptized, so that our sins would be able to be forgiven in the waters of baptism. If you read what the saints of old would say, for instance, they said, Jesus entered into the water not so that the waters would make him holy, but so that he would make the water holy, so that we could be baptized in the holy water that is made holy by the baptism of Christ. But there is also a point where we have to recognize that, as I mentioned earlier, the head and the body have to be united. So in absolutely everything that our Lord has taught to us, you notice that he didn't just simply speak from on high. He did it himself. Anything that he asks of us, he did. So where the head goes, the members can go. So if he would have just simply spoken the truth to us, it still would have been the truth, and we still would have had to do it because this is the word of God. But in our Lord, he did it. And so for us, then, it is that recognition. It is not just the words of our Lord, but the deeds of our Lord that we want to continue, that we not only want to do them, but we want to continue his work, because as children of God, now the works that we do, if they're done in the Lord, can be divine, that they can have that kind of salvific aspect that everything that Jesus did had. And so the work of salvation, the work of redemption, continues today, not only in us, but amazingly through us. So if our Lord became a light to the nations to open the eyes of the blind and bring out the prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness, that's our task today. Not only to have our own blindness removed, but to be that light in the darkness, to be the one to help others to be able to see who do not know the Lord, or to bring them back to the Lord if they have fallen away. So when we hear what St. Luke is talking about in the second reading, and what ultimately St. Peter talked about, but St. Luke repeating it, he talks about all the things that happened, the peace that was proclaimed through Jesus, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, and how he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. So were you. Again, all the things that I've already said about baptism, the greatest gift that was given at the moment that you were baptized is that the Most Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, literally came to dwell in your soul. You are the temple of the Lord. You are the dwelling place of God. That's why you can be the light of the world. Jesus is the light. But if his light can shine through you, then you become that light. You become the means, the lantern, if you want to think of it that way. The light can shine through you. But you notice again how Peter places that, beginning with the baptism that John preached. It's the beginning of his public ministry. That was what marked him. because remember, it was right after he was baptized, he went out to be to the desert. He was tempted for the 40 days and 40 nights, and then came out and began to preach. And so this was the beginning of his public life. But for us, it is the beginning of our divine life. And so it begins with what Jesus did, because again, the body goes where the head goes. He went first and we follow. But we're not just following the way that a sheep follows its shepherd. We're following the way that the body follows the head. If you're crawling on the floor, for instance, your head is going in front and all the rest is following behind. But they're all connected. Unlike the sheep that's not united exactly with the shepherd, we're all united with him. And so it all begins with that baptism of John, where Jesus went into the water so that we could be made holy. That's, again, something that you look at and recognize the astounding mystery that happens, that we are made holy. St. John the Baptist was able to see the dove descend upon our Lord, and the voice of the Father he heard saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But the reality is, you and I are also his sons and daughters because we are incorporated into Christ. We share the divine life. We participate in the divine nature because we are united in Christ. Because we have been baptized into the covenant, and the covenant is the person of Jesus Christ. And so everything that can be said about Jesus in that way can be said about you, because you are a member of the mystical body of Christ. So then you have to ask, what is it that God is asking of you? If all these things happen at baptism, and we go back to that moment of our baptism and we ask, what is it that ultimately was vowed? That we're going to reject Satan and everything that he's about, all his works, all his lies, all of his nonsense, and we're going to live our faith in God, professing the creed. So you can ask yourself, are we doing that? Again, Jesus went out right after his baptism. He was tempted and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." We're all going to be tempted. Do we give in? Do we just simply say, "Oh, well, I like it. The devil tells me what I want to hear." Of course he does. Jesus was hungry and he said, "Hey, turn the stones into bread. Sounds pretty good. Jump off the parapet of the temple. Everybody will think you're really cool. Then everyone will know you're God and they'll worship you. And won't that be great? It sounds real good." They're all temptations, and Jesus said, "No." What do we do with the temptations? That's what we have to look at if we're to continue the work of the Lord. Have to continue to do what he did. Again, the head isn't asking the body to do anything that he wasn't willing to do. So he went out and was tempted. And so are we. So we need to learn from him to be able to say no to those things, to be able to live what it is that we have already told God that we're going to do on the day that we were baptized. That we're going to reject Satan and all of his lies and all of his empty works. That's what we have to be about. Because God is recognizing you as his own son or daughter. So now you can ask yourself, could he actually say, "With whom I am well pleased"? Wouldn't it be nice if we could say, "Yep, God would be really well pleased with me because I'm rejecting Satan and I'm striving to live according to the way of God. I'm continuing the work of the Lord. I'm trying to be the light out there in the world. I'm trying to help people to open their eyes to see the truth. I'm trying to be able to free those who are imprisoned in their own sin. But then, how many of us are imprisoned in our own sin? How many of us have been blinded? How many of us are just wandering aimlessly in the dark? We need to get the light shining. But again, listen to what Isaiah said, because what a blessing for us, that a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. He started a fire in you. You didn't do that, he did. And maybe at this point, the wick is kind of smoldering. Maybe it's not doing so well. Notice what it says, that he doesn't quench it. He will nurse it back to a flame if we are willing to let him do it. So that's the challenge for us. It's one thing to be able to look at him. He's God. Obviously, it's a whole different matter. But what he did for us. And so the grace that comes through that and now through the sacraments are for us, so that we can be holy, so that we can continue that work of the Lord. Look at your dignity. Look at what he's called you to be his own son or daughter. I know you've heard that hundreds and hundreds of times, and so it's so easy to let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't. Get it into the heart. You are a son or a daughter of God, and he loves you, and he is well pleased with you. He may not be well pleased with everything you've done, but he's well pleased with you as his own son or daughter. So now we want to strive to live that way, to see that dignity that is ours, to accept it, and to be able to live it. That's the challenge put before us. But that's exactly what Jesus did. He came into this world, and he lived it. He taught us how to do it by his words, but he showed us how to do it by his actions. And now it's our task, not only to accept that dignity, but now to live according to that dignity, to be able to have that freedom of the children of God, the freedom from sin, the freedom from Satan, the freedom that our Lord has won for us, and that we were baptized into as members of his own person. So as we look at his baptism and ask the question why, it ultimately has to come back to our own self. He didn't do it for himself because he didn't need it. He did it for us because we do need it. And he has obtained through that all of the grace to be able to free us and to help us or to allow us to be able to live according to our dignity, to truly be the sons and daughters of God with whom our Heavenly Father is well pleased.